Hey, Serial Progress Seekers, do you have an idea for a podcast but have no idea where to start or even how? What if I told you you could create your own high-quality audio and video podcast for under $150? The Serial Progress Seeker podcast team has put together a comprehensive guide that includes a breakdown and links to all the audio equipment, video equipment, and software that you need to get your podcast started immediately. And to say thank you for supporting the Serial Progress Seeker podcast, we are offering this guide to you for free. To get your free podcast production guide, simply visit serialprogressseeker.com/startmypodcast today.
This episode of the Serial Progress Seeker podcast is brought to you by Carbon Copy. Is it taking way too long to get the traction you want on your social media platforms? Listen, you're not alone. This is a huge roadblock for businesses trying to grow all over the world, and you need social media to help you grow. That's why I want to introduce you to Carbon Copy, our secret to getting explosive growth and attracting influencer-level engagement to your social media platforms. Carbon Copy is a collection of professionally designed content templates that will position your brand for success and put a global audience within your reach. You select a template, make a few changes to fit your brand, and you've got a professionally designed social media post ready to go. To leverage our world-class design team so that your brand looks like your favorite social media influencers, go to serialprogressseeker.com/carboncopy right now and follow the prompts. That's serialprogressseeker.com/carboncopy.
It's really amazing how even the tiniest bit of encouragement can go such a long way. What's up, guys? Marshall here, and on today's episode of the Serial Progress Seeker podcast, I want you to get in the mode of thinking about that one person in your life that you spend the most time with. It doesn't matter if it's your spouse, your sibling, your roommate, your coworker, your best friend, whoever it is, start thinking about that relationship. Now, I want you to think about what 10% more, 20% more, 50% more, or even 100% more encouragement might do for that person and what their encouragement might do for you. Hang on to that thought as we roll into episode 98 of the Serial Progress Seeker podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Serial Progress Seeker podcast, where we share blueprints for building an unconventional life. Each week, we conduct expert interviews, talk strategies, and share advice for escaping the 9-to-5 and building a life where you are free to do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, all while making an excellent living. Okay, Serial Progress Seekers, let's get started with the show.
All right, guys, I am pumped to be jumping into this subject with you today. This is going to be a fun one, I feel like. This is something we've kind of been diving into a little bit. It's more kind of conversations that deal with relationships and how they kind of work to make us stronger so that we're better, both professionally, personally, and all the way across the board. And that's what this conversation today is really going to dive into. Now, we have to start with a disclaimer. I think we all would be remiss if we didn't throw this out there right from the beginning. We want to say, for all those listening, we are not licensed psychiatrists. We are not relationship professionals. What we have done is experience relationships. And that's kind of what we want to bring, is the experiences that we've had in our relationships to, you know, kind of put it out in the front fold, because we feel like the things that we have learned have really helped us. Not only, like I said, from a professional standpoint, but from a personal standpoint. So I'm excited for us to talk about something specific, and it's all about encouraging our partners. Ben, Tab, I wanted to turn it right over to you real quick. When I talk about encouraging your partner and what that means to you personally, tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of how that affects you.
Yeah. Ladies first.
That's encouraging. What a start. Yes.
My podcast partner. Now, what do you got, Tab?
It just means helping your partner be the best version of themselves that they can be, and then just encouraging them to be the best versions of themselves.
Yeah, for me, we get so many years personally on the planet, and I know that there's so many things that I'm like, this is what I have to have accomplished, by the time I get out of here. And a lot of what I do is only possible because of my partner and the person that I chose to spend my life with. And, you know, it would be silly to think that I'm the only one on the planet that has these aspirations and needs. And so for me, it's, you know, it's making sure that my partner gets what they want out of life. And I think that a lot of times it's really easy to even, you know, to put yourself in a position where you're like, I'm doing this to support them so that they can get to that point, and really lose track of yourself and really lose track of what you want in life. And if you don't have it going both ways with, you know, supporting each other to do those things and to taking some of the load and really putting out there that you expect to take some of the load, and you want those things. Because I think far too many times, what ends up happening is when you start putting it out there that you expect them to do certain things for themselves, when you expect to take some of the load, that they'll start giving you these things. They'll start giving you some of the load. And so, you know, as we sort of go into this stuff today and we talk about, you know, what are some of the, you know, these rules that we really get into for supporting our partners, the goal for me is always, I want to have a very healthy relationship and a very honest relationship. And I have an expectation. The expectation for me getting into a marriage, getting into a business partnership, whatever it may be, is always that this is going to be somebody that I want to actually be friends with. You know, a lot of times people say, well, it's a business relationship, it's a, you know, it's a marriage, whatever. And people have different views on all of these things. But for me, friendship is an incredibly important part of it. My partner is supposed to be my best friend. And I don't think you can have a really good friendship with somebody if you don't want to see them succeed in everything that they want to succeed in. And so, you know, happiness in life to me, the number one thing, like something that was beaten to my head from very early age, is that everything kind of falls into place if you can figure out this one thing, which is, you know, your relationship with the person that you're going to be spending the most time with. Now, that could be marriage. That could be just somebody that you live with. We all have sort of different arrangements in life, and we're not passing judgment on any of those, even if it's, you know, what we've decided to do. But I think the thing is whoever you are deciding to spend the majority of your time with, and typically this is a living situation that you're living with this person, it's incredibly important to understand some rules and what it means to actually get behind them and encourage them so that not only they can do the things that they want to do, but also that they can come right back and do it yourself. You can't have expectations of a partner if you are not giving a certain bit to them. And so I think that, you know, where I am super excited about what we're going to be talking about today on this call, Marshall, is really getting in kind of the secret to happiness. I mean, that's what I define this as. Like, I know what the title of the podcast is, but like, to me, this is the secret to happiness. This is the secret to having a relationship that works. And I think far too many people out there don't get a window into other people's lives that have successful relationships. And as you said, we're not professionals when it comes to this stuff, but like we all do have very successful relationships. And I think far too many folks out there don't get enough of a window to really what's going on with other people's lives that, you know, is successful, that makes them successful. And they think, well, they just happen to meet the right person. I wish it was as simple as that. I really do. And I think we all wish that it was as simple as we just happen to meet the right person. It takes work. It takes a lot of work. And that work can be a little bit easier. Well, actually, that work can be a lot easier if you understand some of the keys to making your other half happy, to make your other half feel supported. And that's what this is about today. To me, you know, sort of what we're going to get into with these rules to, you know, get behind your other half and really make sure that, you know, that they understand that you've got their back. It is the secret to happiness for both of you. And I think on top of that, we get into work. We get into our hobbies, where you can go with those things when you have somebody that has your back, it's a completely different level. And so this really is the secret to happiness, but this is really also the secret to being as productive as you can be outside of your relationship. And so that's why I'm excited to dive in and get started. And I think this is going to be one of the most impactful podcasts that we've ever done, because this is something I don't hear anybody really talking about. And when you really break down what we're going to break down today, there is nobody listening that can't take this home with them and really make a change fast. And this is not anything that's incredibly difficult. It's just something that once you see it, you start to understand how it kind of all comes together. So I'm ready to dive in. I'm ready to get into this because I think this is going to be big for a lot of the folks that listen.
And I couldn't agree more. It's interesting because as we started to, you know, kind of think about and flesh out this whole idea, man, I gravitated so hard to the word partner. And you know what I think it is when I was younger, when I first got, you know, started old enough to start really dating and getting into relationships and things like that, I don't think I really understood the concept of a true partner. You know, I don't, maybe I just wasn't emotionally intelligent enough. I don't know what it was, but as I've gotten older and, you know, once I did finally meet the person I wanted to spend my life with and stuff, I started to really understand what that meant. And now when we start to dig into some of these rules, it's like, holy cow, it's like explosion in your mind because, man, it makes so much sense. And I hope everyone listening kind of feels the same way because we really do feel like, you know, happy partnerships is just what Ben said. It's the key to success and to happiness in general. So, you know, from that overall discussion, from that conclusion, just like Ben alluded to, we've developed five what we consider to be encourage your partner rules. So that these are the rules that we actually believe are going to lead you to a happy relationship. So I want to start out just by listing those rules out, and then we're going to dive deep into each one because I think each one of them has a whole lot of merit and a whole lot of pieces that we can pull from them and build our own relationships and stuff too. So here are the five rules, the encourage your partner rules that we want to get into today. Number one, we have encourage your partner to make friends. That's right off the gate. We're going to start with that for number one. Number two, our encourage your partner rule is to encourage your partner to have adventures without you. That'll be an interesting topic to dive into. Number three, encourage your partner to create something. So we're going to dive deep into that conversation. Number four is going to be encourage your partner to be healthy, something that we are all conscious of all the time. And then number five, we're going to end this thing out to encourage your partner to step outside of their comfort zone. You guys ready? You ready to do this? I'm excited. I'm really pumped, especially to hear from both of you guys, because I look up to both of you and your relationships in a lot of ways. And I'm interested to see kind of what you've pulled from this conversation. So let's start out with number one. You know, when you guys think about that rule number one, encouraging your partner to make friends, you know, kind of what lead me down this path? Why is it important for someone to encourage their partner to make friends?
You know, for me, one of the number one signs of a toxic relationship, like a relationship that is just brutal on people, is when one or both of the people in the relationship have no friends outside of it. That is like the number one red flag that something very toxic is brewing or has become there. And it's so, you know, one of the things that I encourage everybody listening to this, and I, you know, this maybe is a warning sign to some of you. If you feel like you're in a relationship and they are not cool with you having friends outside of the relationship, maybe take a real cold, hard look at things because something bad is happening. Not always. And like I said, we're not professionals, but a lot of the times there's some very bad things happening. And one of the big things for me is like, I am not a complete person by myself. I'm not a complete person just with my partner, with Kelly. Like, I would love to think that we complete each other and we're a full circle, but we're not. It's just not what it is. The thing that makes us great is the people that we also have in our lives. And I think that one of the hardest things for some people, especially if you're not the most confident person in yourself, is to understand that there are friends that your partner needs that you do not, that don't do anything for you. You don't do anything for them, and you don't have that need. Whatever that friend provides that person, you know, your partner, it's not a need that you have, but it's a need that they have. And so something about that friend gives them that. And I think that's, you know, the key to successful relationships is being happy yourself, obviously, but really filling in holes. And to be a complete person and to be happy is to have kind of all those little gaps filled in. And one of the most important gaps is to have people that you can spend time with that, you know, give you something, you know, and I want to give some examples of this because I think we've got to dig into this a little more and I want to hear your opinions on it. I need to have friends that are a little bit more off the rails than me. That's one of the weird ones, right? Like I need to have that friend group. And we've talked about this in previous pods, but I need to have that friend group that is living a life that I could not live. One of the classic examples in my situation is musicians. You know, I have a lot of musicians that are like me. They have a full-time gig. They, you know, have a family. That's fine. But then I have a lot of musicians that that's their life. And I like being around that because it gives me a window into something that is fascinating to me. And it's, so it sort of completes me, but I don't have to be in it. And if I were not able to sort of see that life on a regular basis, something would feel empty. I don't want that life for myself, but like if I didn't have that window into that and I couldn't be around those people that are living more of that life, there would be a hole in me. And so one of the very interesting things about Kelly, my partner, for everybody and anybody listening that doesn't know, Kelly is my wife, and she knows there's this part of me that has to go get in the middle of this world every so often. And when I'm a part of that world every so often, I'm recharged. And so that's something that, like, I think a lot of spouses would be very weird about. Even sometimes when I'm out at a bar watching a band by myself, you know, because Kelly doesn't need to be a part of that all the time. It's not something she needs all the time. But when I'm a part of that by myself, I think some people say, well, you know, why is your wife at home? Because we have a good relationship and I need this and she doesn't. Like, you know, I don't ever have to explain it to anybody. But like the idea is, it's something that when I come home and I wake up the next day, I'm a different person. Now, you know, over the years, I think what we've really deconstructed that is, you know, I work from home. I am here by myself all the time. I talk to a lot of people every day, but I don't see people every day. And so being in the middle of those things is something that I need. She gets out of the house a lot more than I do during the day. But I, you know, I look at her and how she has never once questioned, you know, what are you doing at the bar at 2 a.m? You know, like there's a lot of trust that goes into me being in that situation. And it's something that she very much encourages that I appreciate, because there's no me having to explain. She's just like, there's just a part of your brain that needs those friends. And so, you know, I think that that's a big one. And you know, one of the things that is really hard for me on the flip side, and then I want to hear from you guys, is, you know, I know that she has to have certain people in her life that sort of feel those same things for her. And so Kelly has a few girlfriends, you know, that absolutely I am super friendly with because I think they're good people. But like, we just don't hang out a lot, me with them in those situations. We can, we have, but it's actually a much better hang when it's just her and them. And I think the reason behind this is, and you know, this is just me having conversations with Kelly, is because when I'm not around, there's certain topics that come up between her and these girls that would just not be something that I think they would feel as comfortable to share, or maybe her feel as comfortable to share if I'm in the room at the same time. And I think that's important. It's none of my business. There's parts of my wife that are none of my business. I know that's going to like freak a lot of people out. A lot of people listening to this, like, that's my best friend. That's my partner for a long time. And me saying there are parts of my wife that are none of my business. Yeah. I really believe that. And so I think that there's certain situations that, you know, she has to get into that she can feel like she did. And I think this is an important part to this, that to really zero in on. It's great to be in those situations sometimes where you feel like you were when you were between the ages of 15 and 25. And I think that where a lot of marriages go stagnant is you stop having those situations. And a lot of people really like lock into, well, that's the time that I felt the most alive. Well, I feel the most alive right now because I still put myself in those same situations, and so does she. And so I think it's incredibly important that we grow up, and I think it's incredibly important that we continue to find those friends that put us in the situations that make us feel alive. And sometimes, folks, it's just the way that it is. Even when you're extremely comfortable with each other, it feels a little more like letting go when you're not around your spouse and they give you the ability to do that. Or they don't give you, but they're totally cool with it. But I think that's the thing, is I think sometimes it's fun to be in those situations where you feel, hey, I'm out here on my own doing my thing. And giving each other those times to do that is big. And so that's one aspect of it. I have a lot of other aspects of it, but I'm actually more interested to hear, you know, with you guys and your relationships specifically, how do you feel like that kind of comes together? So Tab, like with, you know, giving your partner the freedom to have, you know, those situations in their life and to really to make their own friends and to spend time alone with those friends. What are some situations that pop up to you and what do they mean to you?
Yeah. So with my husband, Dave, when we were first married, he's always had friends. He's always had, you know, lots of really good friends, but not friends that he hung out with on a continuous basis. Like he would hang out with them once every few months and they would do stuff. But outside of that, for the first, I don't know, 6-7 years of our marriage, he didn't have any friends that he just spent quality time with on a regular basis. It wasn't until a few years ago that he met a couple of guys that he has just become extremely close with, that he spends a lot of time with. And I am completely okay with it because it makes him a happier human being when he's actually home and around me, because he was able to go out with these friends, let loose, to be able to talk through things. Like you said, there's things that he wants to talk about with them that he can't do with me. You know what I mean? Like he may need to talk things through with a guy and not me. That has made a world of difference in our relationship just because he is a happier human being. I have always had a group of girlfriends in my life that I've always hung out with. So I've always had that. He didn't always have that. And seeing that in his life now, he's just a happier human being. He's happier to be around, and I'm happier to be around him after he's hung out with his buddies. So made a world of difference in our relationship and his happiness overall as a human being. But in our relationship is happier because he's happier as an individual.
Well, funny thing about me, as you guys know, I was later to the marriage relationship game. So there was an element of my wife brought friends and I brought friends that we had already collected along the way, right? Like, guess what? When you marry me, these people are coming along and vice versa. But that's been wonderful in many, many ways because there's been a connection of those groups, my wife with my friends and me with her friends. But then there's also been some separation there too, where, you know, if I need a weekend with my buddies, then I'm going to take it. And she is like fully supportive, if not almost pushing me out the door, because she knows if I bring it up, it's because I'm ready for it. I need, it's like, I need to be refueled. You know, we talk about that a lot. You know, my gas tank's running a little empty and I need to go hang out with my guys type thing. But all that being said, I think what you guys have touched on is all of that comes from a very, very strong point of trust. It's trust. It's understanding what makes your partner tick, understanding what actually fills them up. You know, if I was going out on those weekends and coming back completely drained and still that didn't help me anything at all, I think she would feel very differently about it. But instead, she knows that I come back, you know, full to the brim, if not overflowing. And she knows that that's a very, very positive thing. So it's about being able to kind of recognize what your partner gets from those other relationships outside of you, and being able to bring that back to your relationship together is huge.
Well, I do. You know, I think that if we zero in on a point here, it is, you know, one of the number one pieces of dating advice that I think is actually, you know, good that's out there is, you know, if you want to keep a relationship strong with your partner, it is, you know, do the things that you did when you first started dating, like when you first fell in love, right? And one of the things that most of us had, I think, when we first started, you know, dating and relationships is we had those friends that were outside. And it's important to, if you don't have it, craft that, you know, it's just a little focused energy that manifests that into your life. And I don't mean manifest by like it magically happens. I mean, like it is you doing the work every day because you're focused on it and getting there. And so I think that's one of the things that's really interesting about, you know, encouraging your partner to, if they don't have that friend group, and this is something with Kelly, you know, I'm very much still pushing. You know, Kelly absolutely has more of these friends than she did, you know, a year ago. And like I said, we both have a lot of good friends, but they're friends together. But like, I've very been much been like, hey, go get the friends that, you know, don't necessarily include me, and feel free to do that. And it's because it's so important with what we have here to keeping that healthy and strengthened, is that you have those places to go decompress without your partner. I guarantee we've lost some people listening today because this is uncomfortable. Like, this is a very uncomfortable topic for a lot of people, and that's okay. That's the reason I think we picked this topic, is because, you know, everybody that I know that has one of those red flags in their relationship, this is a piece of it, this one and this first one. And that's why we tackled it first. And sometimes it's hard to look yourself in the mirror and be like, this is a red flag. You know, I think that, you know, with relationships I've had in the past, it was hard to look in the mirror and say, this is a red flag. But early understanding that one of the most important things that you can do to have a healthy relationship with your partner is to get them in that situation to where you have friends and they're okay with it, and they have their own friends and they're okay with it. I think that that is one of the things that when you get there, when you actually get there with somebody, everything sort of starts to open up and communication gets better. You know, their happiness gets better and their energy level in your relationship gets better. And it's amazing how just this one, if you paid attention to nothing else that we say the whole call, and I hope you do, because we got lots of good stuff coming, this one really sets the stage for a lot of really good things in relationships. And, you know, we kind of all see that specifically, not only in our relationships, but in the relationships with the other people on the team, and in our friendships. We all have the friendships with people that have kind of a shaky relationship. And this really is a cornerstone to a lot of that shakiness, is there's a lot of resentment that comes when people don't have those relationships outside. And so, you know, just to wrap this one up and get on to the next one, because I think it's important we get to the rest of these. It's extremely important that you encourage your partner to have friendships outside of this. And I think that one of the things that is important with this is, how do you do it sometimes? How do you encourage those things? What's the question that you ask? Number one, you have to start. You have to have some relationships outside. But, you know, sometimes it's easy. It's as easy as being like, you know, somebody comes home from the hairdresser. Somebody comes home from a book club. Somebody, when I say hairdresser, it's beard, because I have nothing up here. But when they come home and they're talking about this person that they, you know, that they kind of think is fun, and they're telling a story about them, say, well, you know, have you ever asked them to go do anything or like do anything like that? It's those little words of encouragement to step outside of their comfort zone. And they're probably going to hit you back with, no, I don't know that I want to do that, you know, but like, it's those little words of encouragement over and over, over time, that get someone to feeling comfortable with doing those things. Now, I will say this, there's plenty of times when that stepping outside of their comfort zone is going to end in disaster, because it's definitely not their person. But you encouraging those little pieces of encouragement and continuing to encourage, even when maybe it doesn't go well, when they do step outside to go hang out with a friend or make a new friend, continuing to do that over months and years, that's where you really get to this. And so, like I said, this is not one that is an easy, it's going to happen tomorrow. This is one that, you know, just little pieces of encouragement to form stronger bonds with the people that they're showing those bits of interest in. And I think that's
important. All right. So that, I mean, great summation to that, because I think that's incredibly important, but we do want to keep moving, because we've got five really good keys, like, just like we said, keys to successful relationships, keys to happiness. So we want to move on to what our rule number two is, and that is to encourage your partner to have adventures without you. I'm excited to dig into this one. What does that mean to you guys? When you think about encouraging your partner to go and have adventures without you, that can be a little scary too, to, for someone to think about, like, hey, what kind of adventures are we talking about here? So talk to me about what you mean here on rule number two.
Tab, I love Dave's adventures that he goes on. So I think you should start, and then I'll come next.
Yeah. So speaking of which, my husband is actually on one of those adventures as we're recording this. He, you know, with this group of friends that he has just made in the last few years, every, I don't know, 3 to 4 months, he goes on off-road trips with these buddies all across the United States. We have a side-by-side, a little off-road buggy looking thing. And they just go to all these off-road parks, and they're on their way to one right now. They'll be gone for a few days, and it's just a way for him and his buddies to get away, to relax, to go do what I say, really dumb stuff, climbing up the sides of fountains and dangerous stuff. But he loves it, and he's able to just get away and have fun. And I do the same thing. I've got a group of girlfriends that I travel with that we go all across the United States about every – mine's probably less frequent than his is. I probably go every 6 months, once every 6 months. But it doesn't matter. As long as we get away and have fun, like Marshall was saying earlier, it recharges each of our batteries and makes us better partners. It makes us better parents. It makes us better friends as we get home because we are recharged. So yeah, that's his off-road adventures.
Nice. Now, Marshall's part of my group. You know, that we go do stuff on our own. I actually missed out on the last trip, cause I had another engagement. But we will travel. We went to Vegas, all of us a little while back. That wasn't too long ago. It's sort of the pandemic was ending. We went to Vegas all together and we missed out on Marshall. But we had an adventure and, you know, we try to craft it where, you know, it's all of us and it's a group of, you know, some really good friends that have kind of come together over the last several years. My brother is a part of this group. And it's people that my wife appreciates. It's people that my wife absolutely, you know, hangs out with. But we also have sort of the separate thing that we do, where we can just sort of decompress in a different way. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I probably don't do it every 3-4 months, but it's something that I wish I could do every 3-4 months. But scheduling conflicts, things like that, we do try to get something done with us at least every 6 months. And it's a time that I know I can be put in a position to where I'm completely recharged because of the adventure. And it's not just being with your friends, it's being with your friends in an odd location. And I think that's key. And my wife just recently went on one with a couple of her friends from high school. And, you know, they don't get together as much as I think they should, but when they do get together, they have an absolute blast. And, you know, it's something that when she comes back, she's definitely completely recharged in a way that it's noticeable. And I think that's key. And I think that's really hard for some people. And I know that there's different kinds of relationships. I know that, you know, different people work different ways, but I think it's incredibly important for us that we get that time away. And, you know, I think it's important that we both do those things, but also that we encourage each other to do those things and so that there's no guilt. And we'll get into more of that soon. But I think that that's a big part of mine is I've got this group of, you know, 4 buddies that I go hang out with. And I don't know what I would do if I didn't have that time. When my wife comes along and she's a part of that group, it works really well too, but it's a different dynamic when she's not there. And it, you know, I think that it's important to understand those things. And it's the same with my wife's friends. I can go hang with them, but it's absolutely a different dynamic when I'm not on that adventure. So, you know, the adventure part of it, and I think that's the stress of this, is if you are going to hang out with your friends and it's the same spots over and over again, that's great. That's just hanging out with your friends. But if you encourage your partner to go on adventures, meaning they go to a concert, they go to, you know, a cabin in the middle of the woods somewhere, they go to something that they don't normally do, getting into trouble with your friends is an incredibly important part of staying in that spot that we want to stay at, which is, you know, feeling like we're kids again. And I think, you know, if we just keep going back to where this sort of stems, it's making our partners feel like they did when they were sort of in that spot where they didn't know who they were, even though they know who they are now. It's putting them back in that spot where they can see kind of how they react in situations that aren't expected, that aren't normal. And I think it's incredibly important that we put our partners in safe spots, obviously, but we put our partners up into a place where we trust them to make those decisions about those adventures and then encourage them to go and to hold down the fort while they're gone. I think that's the most important thing, is making sure that when they're gone, they come back to something that's a better situation, or, you know, at least the house didn't get destroyed while they were gone. And I think that, you know, sometimes another red flag that I look for in relationships is when somebody can't hold down the fort. When your partner leaves for something and they come back and things are a mess, that is when you have somebody that can't put themselves in the position of being the person that takes care of things when someone's gone, that's a problem too. And so I think one of the ways that you actually encourage your partner to leave and go on adventures is to hold down the fort when they do. And that makes them feel as if it's something that they can do over and over again. And everybody deserves that. And so that's sort of my thought on it. Marshall, yeah, anything to add on that?
One thing that I specifically took from this rule was the acknowledgement that I needed to make in my own head was that, you know, sometimes we just have different interests, right? There are things that I want to go and do that my wife is just not interested in. It literally just happened last week. There was a concert coming to town that I wanted to go to. There were some friends coming in town. I wanted to go along, but I recognized so much that she wouldn't be interested in this that I never even brought it up to her way back in the day. But then when it comes around and those friends are coming in town for this concert, they're like, hey, you want to come with us? You know, I said it to her and I'm like, listen, I know you don't care about going to this concert, but I think I might go. And she was like, yes, absolutely. You should go. Number one, because, you know, I wouldn't care to go with you type thing. But also it was her encouraging me to go and have this fun outside of her. And we had it was vice versa recently too. She had some friends that were getting together, that go way back, and it was about, and they were going on an adventure to, just like you said, Ben, a place that none of us really hang out. In fact, they didn't even know what they were going to do. They just knew they wanted to be together. And I saw it as an opportunity. Yes, I could have gone and absolutely contributed to that, you know, experience. And we would have had a lot of fun, but I saw the ability to pull back and let her go and have this fun on her own, with her friends, and have this as an adventure that she could remember, as an opportunity for us to be stronger. And I think those are the things, if you can continually just try to recognize those opportunities that are out there. And you know, in our lives, we're lucky enough, we're very fortunate to have, you know, multiple sets of friends from different backgrounds, and different areas and stuff that we can kind of, you know, sporadically go around. And I know that not everyone's that lucky, but you still get the opportunities. The opportunities are going to be presented to you to encourage your partner to go. And just like we just said, have those adventures. And I think there's something too that we want to make sure to point out here too, that this is a point that I wanted to make for sure. Isn't there, and you guys tell me what you think about this. I'd love to know what you think, but don't you just sometimes need to miss each other a little bit? Like that's the way I feel a little bit, like, especially, gosh, it's, you know, I think there's still lingering effects from COVID maybe, but you know, there was a lot of time where you spent just all your time together. And now we're starting to slowly, you know, and we've kind of come out of that fog, but you know, there's still some of that, those lingering effects. And I think there are times when we seek out opportunities to put some space between us so we can miss each other. Do you guys do the same thing?
Yeah, that's why I'm so excited. See? Dave left on this trip. He's broke his foot. He's been around me nonstop for 6 weeks. I'm like, go right away. Yeah. So that I can relax by myself and miss you while you're gone. Yeah.
Well, you know, my thing that everybody gets on me about, that thinks it's a red flag, that I absolutely know it's not a red flag, but you know, one of the number one things I think we ever did for our relationship was we stopped sleeping in the same bed at night. And it is that, like I wake up wondering what my wife's up to. I love that. I love that. Number one, she gets way better sleep because I'm not there. But number two, that, you know, it is every single day. It feels like what it was like when we first started dating, because we're not in the same bed. And so we're both more recharged. But, you know, I only bring this up to speak to your point. And once again, every time I mention it on the podcast, I know somebody's like, ah, they're going to break up. I'm like, yeah, not at this point, buddy. Okay. But no, my whole thing is always this. It's like, it is absolutely what you said. There is a level of, we wake up every day wondering, you know, how the other person is, because we're not sitting there right next to each other, that she doesn't have to wake up watching me drool all over myself or snore. There's a level of missing there. And it's a small, it's not in comparison to what you guys are talking about here, but it's absolutely a component of that I have recognized. And yeah, it's absolutely a huge part of that whole equation. So yeah, I totally, totally agree with that it's good to put yourself in situations where you miss each other. And I think that sending each other off in those adventures and encouraging that and making sure you hold the fort down is a big, big part of it. And I want to add one more caveat to this, because I think this is important when we get into this. It's with everything that you're doing with your spouse, and adventures is the best part of it. Do you add something to that, or do you take away something from that? Now, this is where, once again, we're going to hit some controversy here with people listening. Everybody says, well, if you're in a good relationship, you're always adding something to their. No, you're not. No, You're not. There's plenty of times when I've been in a situation where if I'm in the room, I know what that crowd will expect of me, or the role that I play in that crowd. And it puts my spouse in a position to not be what she can be, and vice versa, her for me too. It's like, you know, sometimes I don't want to be someone that draws attention away from my spouse in a room with certain people. And so I look at those situations and I said, it's like Marshall said, Sarah didn't want to go to that concert. It wasn't, so she'd be there, but if she's there, it's not something that she's really going to enjoy. And she's actually going to draw attention because people are going to worry if she's okay, you know, and it's just not something she's into. And that's kind of the thing that I think is when you get into a very mature relationship with somebody, they start to understand, it's not that I don't want to be with you. It's just that if I'm there, I'm going to be a drag on the party because you're interested in it and I'm not. And I think that that is when you start realizing that sometimes you are a drag on the party versus something that's going to add and lift your partner up and make them have more fun. That's it. And those are some of the worst situations I've been in, is where I found myself in a situation with my wife where she was having a blast and I just wasn't. And, you know, being able to recognize those things before they happen, and really to learn, I think that's incredibly important. And so, you know, I think that that's a hard one for a lot of people to understand, that sometimes the room's not better because you're in it. and to really wrap your mind around that, I think that's a huge sign of maturity and knowing yourself and, you know, really, you know, a big level of not being selfish. Sometimes you got to miss out on the party so that the party's better, and that's okay. That's okay. So.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I think these two, more than any of these together, kind of correlate a little bit. And I really feel this way. So rule number two dealt with, going out and encouraging your partner to have an adventure, right? Well, our rule number three, the key to success in your relationships and the key to happiness, is about encouraging your partner to create something. And I know that we all have very specific, examples in our lives where this is going on currently as we sit here and speak. And it's led to some very, very positive things. I'll turn it over to you guys. But what are some examples of, you know, encouraging your partner to create something, and what has that actually done to benefit your relationship?
So I'll let Ben take this one, because I feel like of all of these, this is the one where Dave and I probably have the least experience in. I think because we're both creative at work, and so we don't need that outlet as much as maybe some other ones do. So Ben, I'll let you take this one.
Sure. I went into our relationship with a hobby that was very quote unquote creative. So when I met Kelly, I was in a band and it was a big part of my life, and I had to put that part of my life down for a while to sort of move the direction that I wanted to go professionally. And so, you know, along the way, I'd picked it up, put it down, picked it up, put it down. One of the things that she was always very big on was like, pick it back up and keep it up, you know, like just keep going with it and do something with it. And I will say this, there's a level to where you're like, okay, you start questioning, is it okay to hear if I go this far with it? Is it okay if I go this far with it? Like how far is accepted? And what I mean by that is, like, it's one thing when you're sitting in a room with what I do, which is play music, sitting in a room playing, recording. It's another thing when you start bringing other people into your home, or you take time away from your family to go do that endeavor. There's an entirely other thing when you start spending until 2-3 in the morning at a bar because you played the bar that night with that hobby. And so there's various levels of it. There's been no level of it where she's like, go do it. I'll be there every time I can, but go do it. If I can't, it's okay. I can't be with you this time. And so that there's been a level of encouragement there. So that was always in the back of my mind, that this was something that was incredibly awesome about my partner, and that I trusted her more because she was just always pushing me to reach for that thing. And to reach, there was no point where I was through something in her. And I think she trusts me to be responsible with it. But there was no point where I ever felt like there was, okay, this is okay, but this isn't. And so that was nice, is to know that, like, she wanted me to go as far as I could with this hobby. So that's big. Well, you know, you kind of get down the road and you want to give that back, you know, and this is something that we'll keep coming back to. This is a recurring theme, is when somebody gives you that much on one of these, you want to give it back. And so I remember there was a point where I was like, what is it that you like to do outside of these things? And so she would pick up various hobbies. And then like one day her dad came and, her dad like had all this stuff from, you know, their childhood, from her sister to her. And he was pulling out these drawings and these things. And like, she had never even told me that she was artistic in a way that she is. And, you know, and I think it was one of those things where like, just she had gotten encouragement, but the encouragement had never turned into a fire. It was just sparks of encouragement, but never turned into a fire. And I mean, I wasn't playing it up. I mean, when I saw this stuff, I was like, you know, she was like, oh yeah, but anybody can do this. I'm like, no, you know, not anybody can do this. There's a level of talent that you need. If you actually enjoy this, you should pursue it. And so there was a conversation that like happened over a period of time. And that conversation that happened over a period of time, I kept sort of bringing it up, you know, is this something I'm going to do? And she kept kind of saying, well, you know, I'm kind of into, I used to watch Bob Ross with my grandpa. It was something that we did. And I've always kind of wanted to like get into this, you know, actually going through Bob Ross's stuff and painting alongside him. And I was like, okay, cool. What do we got to do to get that started? And it was, you know, try to figure out how to do that. So we would kind of put pieces. And this is like 6 months to a year that this little surface level conversations happening, but you know, I'm still trying to like give her back what she's given me all this time. And like I said, she set the precedent. It wasn't me. She set this precedent. And finally I got her to a place to where she would go out and paint. Now, this is hilarious. I was at a doctor's appointment with my mom, and I have no idea she's doing this. And she sends me this painting, and it's just magnificent. Like, blows me away what she did. And I was like, you should post that. Show people what you did. She's like, are you sure? I'm like, absolutely post it. She posted. Of course, she gets a lot of really good feedback. And it's like her first one. But like, it was great for somebody's first one. She gets a lot of good feedback. You know, that starts lighting even more sparks. Now, this is the fun part. I get home, and it's dead summer, by the way. And out in the garage, there's this makeshift ass easel that she's put out in the garage. There's just like, she had her paint. Like, it was the most thrown together thing in the dead 100 degree heat in a garage that she's making, like, you know, painting, breathing in paint fumes. And I'm like, dude, like, I love this. I love that you actually got it done. And she just got it done, right? I was like, but we're going to have to put you to something together. So like, we started formulating a plan to build her an area to do this. And so like, it was going and finding pieces of the puzzle and being on top of that. And I think that's the other side. Once again, this may start to sound like, oh, Ben's touting his encouragement. No, what I'm touting is the level of encouragement that I got for 10, 20 years for the music stuff. It was so easy to give back to her because she had already given me the blueprint of what this looked like. Well, what do you need to do this? You know, yesterday I posted a banner that I got in for my, you know, live gigs. You know, I needed a new sound. Like, there's no level of things she hasn't given me. So like, she gave me this blueprint. It was very much the blueprint of how to encourage things outside of her that was a hobby, that was an artistic endeavor, that was something. And so now, you know, I've had to very much be like, listen, you're not going to get any good at this if you don't have a schedule to do this. And like, I love what you're doing right now. It's great, but it's not your best work. You know, and having the ability to really have that open conversation. And I don't mean it's not your best work because it's not good. I mean, it's not your best work because what's going to happen when you do this every day and you actually carve time out for yourself? What's going to happen when I don't walk downstairs and say, hey, what's going on? What are you up to? And interrupt your flow. Like, what happens if I have a schedule that says you're actually painting during this time and I know to shut the hell up so I don't pull you out of your state of flow when you're doing that? Where do you get to in the next year if you've actually put those things together? And so, you know, the things that I've learned that I need to do artistically, I can pass those things on. And the level of opportunity that's already come her way because of that, that is completely outside of me, It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me making connections for her. But the level of opportunity and the level of conversations and the level of things that have come her way because of this thing that she's just getting started at is huge. And, you know, I think that that's so important, is because she had this talent and there was these sparks of encouragement, but the encouragement was never so much that it actually turned into something that, you know, I think really gave her the satisfaction that she needed to continue to go with it. And it's something that she gets a lot of energy from when she paints for an hour or 2 hours. And so, you know, I think she looked for a long time for other things, and that was always there. But it was like, how, it was just the, when once we finally figured out it was there, it's how do I get her to realize it's important? Because the number one thing that happened was, well, why would I be doing this when I could be taking care of something around the house or taking care of the kiddo and doing these things? And there's so much level, there was a level of guilt that was put into this whole, why would I take time to do this when I've got these other things that I probably should be doing? And it was finding the way to convey over time that, like, this, what you're doing is important. It is important. And it's not just important now, it's important in 5 years from now, if you go start going down this path of what you will be able to create and how you will be able to impact the world if you keep going, if you really put yourself into this and you see what happens if you really go for it. And I think that's the conversation that I'm having right now with her. But once again, props, like, you know, I'm having this conversation as a 40-year-old, you know, that's seen some shit. She was having this conversation all the way through, like all from her 20s on with me about this music thing. Be like, you know, it's not just about where you're at right now. It's the trouble you get into because you put the actual time into it. That's what's going to get interesting. And so, you know, I think that from an artistic perspective and encouraging your partner to do those things, it's really, you come at it from a perspective of go for it. Yes, you're going to suck at this for a while, and being completely cool with saying that, but it's okay. I want you to have the room to suck for a while, but keep doing it, because it's not right now that we're interested in. It's what's going to come out on the other end. Plus, if you feel good when you do it, everybody wins, you know? So for us, that's been the artistic journey. And, you know, the farther she's gone, the more I've been able to encourage her because of the doors that it has opened up to. And I think that's it. It's just with the artistic side, not all of us are born Picasso. Not all of us are born knowing how to put together a rock song that can go on the radio, and not all of us will ever get there. But I think it's encouraging your partner to see how far they can take something with where they get with practice 5 to 10 years from now. And when you're doing that, that puts you and your partner in a very good space with each other, because once again, it's something that they can do outside of you that is only theirs, that opens up doors that have nothing to do with you. And I think that the best relationships are formed when two people with equal playing field, with equal opportunity outside, come together and they want to be together, even though they don't have to be together. And so I think that's part of what that is.
It's so interesting how my experiences have reflected yours in a lot of different ways. Like, so you guys know this about me, as I moved to St. Louis and I was trying to find my next, you know, quote unquote career move. You know, there was a little bit of in between time, because something happened called COVID. Literally the week I moved into St. Louis, COVID hit. And so it was, you know, finding a job in the, you know, what I thought I wanted to get, the direction I wanted to go, was very difficult at that time. And I was really struggling to find outlets for myself. And I can remember several times when Sarah encouraged me, like, hey, what is it? What are the things that make you, that kind of take you outside of where you are and where you feel kind of stuck? And you know, those things were kind of some of the same things. It was, you know, playing some music, picking up the guitar when I needed to. For me, it was writing. So I literally, she kind of encouraged me and even helped me in a lot of different ways, you know, to start a blog and, like, just start, you know, some of these things that were going to kind of spur that. So something you said there a minute ago, Ben, made me think of that, because I had even, you know, unlocked that part of my head in a while. So it's good to make that memory too. But something else too that you touched on is really big for us, and we've talked about it in other conversations, but it's about setting aside physical places in your world where you can escape somewhere, right? And create. So that's something we've been very, very big on. So when we bought our house, you know, a few years back, we knew that Sarah was taking, she had just recently taken a job. She's comes from a background of menswear design. So lots of design, sewing machines, you know, making drawings, measuring, cutting, all this stuff. Well, this part was kind of being taken away from her job because she was doing a new job. So she still was going to need that design outlet that she had been getting for a long time. So we literally built a portion of our house and constructed it so that she would have a sewing space and a place that she could go and get away and create. And I've got the same thing. If I need to go away and, you know, play guitar or, you know, sing a little bit or write, you know, we've got these locations in our house. And I think that's a real advantage in ways that you can easily encourage your partner to go and create something is you carve out that space. Right. But something else too, I wanted to mention as we talk about this. So creating something that can be that outlet when it's needed is so important. But then on the back end, when you follow it up with being your partner's biggest cheerleader, it's like, to me, that's where it kind of becomes full circle because you're cheering them on the front end to get them started. But then when they actually produce and start to do some of these things, being there on the back end and being the first one to congratulate them for doing that, I think there's a whole lot of value in doing that too. So,
well, on the upside of this, and I just want to add this, it's, I think one of the things that a lot of people worry about with this is what if I don't dig this stuff? If you have been encouraging along the whole way, honesty is appreciated. You know, I want to hear the good things you like about it, but I also want to hear the stuff that you don't like about it. Like, and I think the longer you work at encouraging your partner to be creative, the more that you can be, that you can actually give a real opinion on something and that it's actually taken the right way and appreciated without being discouraging. Like, you know, because I've created so much over the years, I mean, really, I have been given the room to create and create and create and create and create. There's been a lot of songs that have come out. So I think it's a lot easier now for Kelly to tell me, I think I like this, but you know, this is what I don't like about it. Or I, you know, having the honesty from her when she doesn't like something is big. And it's something that I don't take as well, you hate what I'm doing at this point, because she's been so encouraging along the way. And I think that's the thing. It starts to stack into something where I value her opinion as a critic now, because there's never been a moment where she's knocked down the creative outlets. And, you know, I think that's an important part. And that's what it should evolve into. When you sort of get to that spot to where, you know, you actually see your other half as somebody that's a real critic, that's not just going to tell you it's great because they love you, but it's going to give you real feedback. That is an evolution of it, that if you've worked really hard on it for a long time, you're there. I'm not as comfortable being that to her yet. Not that I won't tell her I like this one the most and this is why, but I'm not as comfortable being a critic yet because she's not gotten as far along. And so one of the things that I think is maybe a negative on my side for her is that I think she still believes she can't always trust my opinion when it comes to some of the things that she's doing. And, you know, that's something that as she keeps going, will go away, because it's, you know, as I keep doing my thing, you know, those are things I want. That's somebody that I want their honest opinion, because I need objectivity. And when you're encouraging to your partner, when you keep putting them in positions to create and to do those things outside of you, eventually you become that. And so, you know, I don't just want to talk about what this looks like when you first start. I want to talk about what it looks like 5-10 years down the road. And that's where you get to. And I think that that's a very comfortable place to be, if you keep working towards it, because then you get to have conversations about it that are very nuanced and deep. And that's where this becomes something that, you know, 5 to 10 years down the road in your relationship, it's a whole different thing that you never saw coming, that it's something you really appreciate about your relationship that nobody else on the planet will really give you. And so I think that that's important. So
yeah. Speaking of looking to the future, this is something that is really, really important that we need to absolutely address, because, you know, we've talked about it on this podcast before. We all want to live forever. Not only that, we want our partners to live forever. Right. And that's a very, very big key element, I know, in my household, and same for you guys. But our rule number 4 for the key to happiness in your relationships is encouraging your partner to be healthy. What does that mean? I mean, when you say encouraging your partner can be healthy, because man, there are some landmines that you do not want to step in, I promise, when it comes to this, but you want to walk that line, right? So what does it mean to encourage your partner to be healthy, and why is that important in your relationship?
There's a lot of landmines in this one. But if you do it the right way, it's a very, very good thing. The number one thing with the health for me is you got to own it yourself first. That's it. I'm not allowed to say crap about the way anybody else does anything if I'm not doing something myself. And to be honest, I'm probably not allowed to say anything anyway. I'm just not. I don't think it's ever a good thing to tell someone how to take care of themselves, unless it's really dire. If it's really dire, then sometimes the conversation has to be had if there's somebody on the verge. But for most of us, that's not the case. That's not the case. We want our partner to be healthier. We want our partner to live forever, but like, we don't get to decide those things. So the number one thing that I think is the ultimate strategy to encouraging your partner is put in the time. I realized, after I had my little fall and broke my nose a little while ago, that I'd stopped going to the gym on a consistent basis. And, the things that I really looked at is like, I'm not setting a good example for my partner, but I'm not setting an example for my kid. And so, one of the things that I kind of was like, and I'm going right after we're done here today, is you got to start getting to the gym and setting the example. You can't expect anybody else in your life to take care of themselves if you're not taking care of yourself. And let me say that again. You can't expect any of the people that you love to take care of themselves if you aren't taking care of yourself. That's where all this starts. All the encouragement for your partner is, what are your habits that are taking care of you? Now that's one side. So I told myself, and I told Kelly this week, I was like, listen, here's the thing. I like the way I look. I'm okay with it. But what I don't like is I know there's going to be things in the future that are going to be a problem if I don't take care of some stuff. If I don't just go put in the time now, there's going to be some things in the future. It's not a looks thing for me. It is a down the road sort of thing. And so I told her, I was like, here's kind of a rule right now. It's a dumb rule, but this is my rule for myself. I'm not going to allow myself to drink anything on the weekend if I've not gone to the gym four times through the week. Dumb rule. But it was me stating something for myself that put me at a goal, gave me something to sort of, and not that I don't drink every weekend. I just don't. It's not a huge part of what I do, but when I want to, I don't want to not to feel like I can't. And so here's what's funny. When I go to the gym four times a week, I feel very good about any food or drink that I have on the weekend. I just don't worry about it so much, right? I feel very blessed in, that. But going and doing those things puts me in a position. But here's the subtle thing that's interesting. And I'm not trying to send any messages to my partner, because she's in a lot better shape than I am. Let's just be real with all this. I'm not trying to send any subtle messages, but when you do that, when you say, this is what my standards for myself are, you're exhibiting standards that you have in your life, and it starts to bleed over. And it's not you're sending a message that I think you need to go work out. It's sending a message that I am carving this time out for me because I want to live longer. I want to be here for you guys. And that gives your partner permission to do the same. It's that simple. It's that simple. The other side, which is food. And I think a lot of people have a really big struggle with this. And I want to hear, y'all's opinions on this. But with food is, we don't always do the best. But when my wife, decides to cook something at home, which is always going to be healthier than anything we eat out, I try to be very encouraging to that. And sometimes I get into a position where I do this, and this is the mistake that I make. I want to take a load off of her having to cook. And so I'm like, oh, let's go out and eat. And at the same time, I'm shitting on her trying to do healthy things for us. You know what I mean? And like, I know I do that, and I know I'm trying to be helpful, but recognizing that she's making all these plans at one part of the week, because you have to plan to cook, you have to make all these plans, and realizing I'm throwing that off and I'm just trying to be helpful, but I'm starting to understand what I'm doing. That is one of those things too. So it's, you know, that's a form of encouragement or discouragement if you really look at it. The other side is it's like, what are you eating? What are you putting into your body, whether it be food or drink? What are you putting into your body, and is it encouraging? So for me, encouraging your partner to be healthy is, it always starts with what you're doing. And it is amazing. It is amazing to look at couples, not just couples, roommates, friend groups. It's amazing to see how the fitness level is within this range of your group or your partner. And it's literally because as humans, that's what we do with the groups that we are the most involved in with our partner. What we tend to gravitate towards is staying within a range of them. And it's not some weird psychological hack to get someone to do what you want them to do. It's just sort of how we're programmed. And so I think that with this, the number one way that, you know, I think we encourage our partners to be healthy and to take the time for themselves or to eat a little better is it starts with us. And like I said, not a manipulation tactic. It's always just a, you know what? I can spend more money on a meal to take care of myself if I know my partner has done it already. I can take the hour to go to the gym if I know my partner is taking it. And so I think that sending that message that way is a much healthier way of sending the message than what I see some people doing. And I've got people in my life right now that have stepped in this in a very bad way. And that relationship is this close to being done. And it's not that this was the one thing that they did wrong. It's just this was the thing that really personified how they viewed the relationship. And so, yeah, man, you can mess this one up bad. But I think the number one way to attack this to encourage your partner is to just it all starts right here. You can't pass judgment on someone else. You have to do you. And when you do you, it's amazing how your partner, I think, starts to feel like they have the window to go do what they want to do. Anyways, that's my thoughts on it. And that's how I handle it. You'd have to ask Kelly how that actually works. She may be like, yeah, no, he needs to do better. but anyways, that's how I handle it. What about you guys?
Yeah. So for me, I learned really early on that Dave, Thomas, and I cannot work out together. We tried to do the healthy living thing together. I don't take his criticism on how I lift weights or squat a certain way or do whatever. I just did not take the criticism well. So that's one thing in our relationship that we just learned, that we need to do it separately. And so one of the things I recently, 2 months ago, signed up for a boot camp, and he has been so encouraging of that. I mean, it was one of those options when I signed up that I could just pay for it, you know, each time I went, or I could just pay for an entire month subscription. He's like, pay for the month, go do your thing. And every time I go, he's always, you know, I'm so glad that you went. How do you feel now that you've gone? And is always like, so how much did you lift today? And how much did you squat today? And what number are you at here? So he almost makes it like a competition for me.
It's huge.
Very, very much so. And so that's a world of difference of where it used to be. What used to, he'd be like, so you're going to go to the gym today? And I'm just like, F you, buddy, you know, don't talk to me like that. He's definitely made some of the mistakes as far as what you don't say. But since he's encouraged me to go find this other group of people outside of he and I, it's made a world of difference as far as my health is concerned. Now, food, on the other hand, is where we probably fail the most, because he's a notorious little Debbie eater in bed. Oh my gosh. And y'all, if you knew my husband, he's about this big. He's a little skinny. He can eat whatever he wants and doesn't gain a pound, driving me crazy. But he has encouraged me. This year, we're going to put a garden in and we're going to grow some fresh vegetables. And I know that that's a big deal, because that's going to be a lot of work on his end as far as, you know, creating it, making it happen. So he's definitely encouraged me in that way as far as healthy eating is concerned. But Marshall, what is yours?
Yeah, like? It's funny. It's rule number four to me is the one where I find the most yin and yang in my relationship. It's just crazy. So from like an exercise, you know, working out standpoint, that's something that I'm just familiar with and have always felt like my own personal tugging to need to go do. So it's something that's just been a part of my life since I was a teenager. You know, obviously there have been droughts, let's not get crazy, but it's something that I have found important for myself. And that's how I've, you know, added value to my own life. Right. And that's, you know, sometimes, you know, that can be somewhere where Sarah struggles. And then we talk about diet, like, thank God for my wife, or I would eat like a 12-year-old child every single day of my life. We're talking mac and cheese, PB&J. I'd have Pop-Tarts on the regular. Like that was me before Sarah came along, and thank God for her, because now I learned to eat. I will have squash tonight for dinner, you know, and that's, if you'd have told me this 10 years ago, I'd be like, you are an idiot. That is never going to happen. No way. But those are the kind of things. And that's where she has brought so much value, because she encourages that, you know, she encourages that healthy eating and stuff. And I'll tell you another aspect of this that I think is really important too, is us flexing our mental health too. And it's funny how it kind of counteracts and balances sometimes, because sometimes my mental health needs on a Friday night to go out with my wife and have drinks and go sit at a bar. And that's where I need to, you know, strengthen myself mentally. And she's the same way. And we kind of meet there. And finding those things, you know, something we've been talking about recently that we want to go do more is to go to like state parks or national parks and get hiking in, and like go actually do more that. Why don't we have beautiful area around us. Why don't we take advantage of that more? And so that is going to help us from a, you know, physical standpoint and from a mental standpoint. And those are the kind of things that luckily I can really lean on my partner to lift me up where I struggle. And she can lean on me where she struggles, and we kind of make each other better from that standpoint. Now, listen, it's, you know, it's an everyday process. It's something that is a very big conversation, a very, very big focus in our household. And Ben, you hit the nail on the head. Mine is from a standpoint, yes, of course, there are some physical things that I would love to change about myself, whatever, who cares? What I'm trying to avoid is, you know, number one, leaving this world earlier than I'd like to. And that's mainly because of some, you know, some past family, you know, health issues. I want to avoid being diabetic when I'm 55 years old, you know, like that is in my family. I have lost grandparents to that. Both of my parents deal with that now. And I'm trying to avoid that shit like the plague. And that is why you'll see me on the bike here in an hour. Like those are the kind of things that drive me. So, all that being said is, luckily, Sarah really encourages that too, because she wants me to hang around, and vice versa too. It's just finding, from a diet, from an exercise standpoint, from a mental standpoint, it's finding those little ticks, you know, where can I support her where she kind of struggles a little bit? Where can she support me where I struggle a little bit? And how do we lift each other up in that case? Cause I it's so big.
I love it. No, 100%. All right, let's get into our final one.
Yeah, rule number five. This is a fun one. And we've touched on it a little bit because some of the elements from these other pieces build into this. But our rule number five on achieving the ultimate happiness in your relationships is all about encouraging your partner to step outside their comfort zone. So obviously we all have our nice little nooks that we like to stay in, you know, on a day-to-day standpoint, but even on a grand scheme standpoint, how do we encourage our partners to step outside of that? What are some things that you guys have had experience in doing that?
Tabitha, you want to start?
Yeah. So my one big, it's a huge one, is that I encouraged my husband to quit his job and to buy a business. Doing something. So he had years of experience being an engineer in a factory, and he was downright miserable. I mean, he was in a building with no windows all the time. He never saw daylight unless he went to lunch, and he wanted something different in his life. And we had a friend of ours that owned a custom cabinet shop, and he was selling it. And my husband's like, oh, that'd be the coolest thing ever to get to do that. I'm like, okay, go take a week's vacation, go work for free for him for a week, see if you even like this, and then we'll talk. And he went and he loved it. He came home every day like giddy, like, you ain't gonna believe what I built today. Guess what I did? And a few months later, probably a year later, we ended up buying the business. And it's not always been amazing, but he's definitely stretched outside of his comfort zone. And he's able to create some things that he's unbelievably proud of. I'm unbelievably proud of what he's able to accomplish. And the feedback he gets from people and just the quality of his work that I hear from other people is just, I'm so unbelievably proud of him for doing that and continuing to do that. And just having that business has opened up a world of possibilities for our family and, you know, things that will affect our kids for generations to come. And just the freedom that he, like right now it's we're recording on a Thursday and he is gone off on his man trip that he's able to just go and do what he wants when he wants. So that was my big one as far as encouraging that. Yeah.
You know, from a, from an outside perspective, cause I've known Tabitha's husband for a long time. Cause we were, you know, we're all actual friends here. We don't just all work together. We all actually hang out with each other outside of here. Dave's a different person. Like, you know, all the good parts were always there, but like, it's like Dave's 10X Dave now, from a human perspective. And I think that that's so good to see, because I know that, like, you know, anybody that runs a small business, you know, especially the kind of small businesses that we run, they're stressful, you know, and you think if you come from a background that stress makes you less and it beats you down. No, it's this stress that comes, but it also who you are as a human is completely different. And I remember, you know, I was doing the chiropractic thing, cause that's what I went to school for. I loved it. But I didn't love it like I love this at all. Like, you know, that was a relationship, that the chiropractic thing was a relationship that I had. It was a good relationship and it could have gone on forever, but it wasn't the relationship I was supposed to be in. You know, and this, I remember when I'd come home, and this is so stupid because it makes me look terrible, but it's okay. I'm okay with looking terrible. I would come home just exhausted. And I remember my wife, you know, at one point just kind of giving me the vibe of, this isn't exactly your schedule, is it? This chiropractic thing doesn't exactly fit your schedule as a human, does it? And I was like, no, it really doesn't. You know, getting up in the morning to go open the office up and being off at 6 o'clock and having to be in bed at 9 o'clock. That's just not who I am. It's never going to be who I am. It's not something that I could do it. I did it. You know, I did it for years. I ran a successful business, but it wasn't who I was deep down. You know, who I am deep down is this person that stays up until 2-3 in the morning, sleeps until noon, and then, you know, runs a fantastic business when I'm awake. This serial progress seeker is who I am. And it's like, if you knew me back then, you saw pieces of me, but you didn't really get to see me in all of who I am. And I say all that to say this, and it plays off into what you're saying. There was a moment to where I could have chose that very stable, very professional career. And my wife was just like, is this really what we're going to do? Is this really what you're going to do for the rest of your life? Not that it's a bad life, but is it, you know, if you want to do it, go for it and go as hard as you can. And so, you know, having that sign off to go make this work, you know, and this is way back when, this is right as my kid was born. So we're talking 12 years at this point. And having that level of encouragement really gave me the ability to run with it and to really go. And it was outside of my comfort zone, because I was brought up to, you're going to do one of these careers. Not that they forced me into it. My parents didn't force me in anything, but they're like, this is the signed off careers. This is what is probably going to be the best. And so I went and did it. And so having people around me that, you know, showed faith and told me to, I know you're not comfortable with it. I know it's not what you went to school for however many years. I know it's not what you invested all this money in, but is it going to make you happy to do this? And my partner absolutely did that. And so, yeah, you know, one of the things that I'm really big on right now with Kelly is stepping outside of her comfort zone. It's, you know, especially with like the art stuff, like there's certain levels of things that she'll do and there's certain levels of things that she won't do that I'm like, you're absolutely equipped to do this at this point, go do it. You're just not comfortable with it. You know, and one of the things that she did the other day that I was very proud of her, and I've encouraged, but she did it, is she went into a Facebook group that was full of people that she didn't know. So it wasn't people that were like, you know, wanted to be nice to her because they liked her. And she posted some stuff and got outstanding feedback on her stuff. And it was just like watching her start to have the faith in herself to do those things is big. But I know it's because we're lighting these little sparks, you know, over time. And that's the thing. I think that, you know, I want her to have the level of confidence that I have about the things that I do. And I'm very well aware that I have an outsized level of confidence compared to my ability most of the time, but that's what I want for her too, you know, because I think that sometimes having that level of confidence outside of your ability makes it much easier for your ability to catch up faster. And because you put yourself in situations where it has to. And so I think that that's the thing is like, I want her to put herself in situations that are scary. And, you know, so one of the things that I have kind of adopted as a strategy here is really kind of been like, okay, well, you do this. What's the worst that's going to happen? You know, somebody hurts your feelings. So what, you know, and there's obviously situations that are actually dangerous. None of these things are that. And so encouraging her to put herself in positions that, maybe seem scary at first, but I know that she can handle, but I know that she doesn't know that she can handle yet. I think that that's a huge, huge part of our relationship. And yeah, I totally agree. Marshall, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll tell you, my experience has been very similar to you guys. So I, you know, completely would echo all your sentiments. And honestly, I'll tell you right now, my wife and I are literally smack dab in the middle of one of these types of situations right now, as of like a couple hours ago. And it's a situation where we would like to determine, you know, a next step, but there's a fear, and you just touched on it. You just said scared, and that's 100% what it is. It's a fear of unknown. It's a fear of, and I don't know if I'm exactly confident in this portion of my abilities, and things like that. And it's my role, because she's the one going through this right now, my role is to literally just encourage, like, and it's funny, Tabitha, something that we were talking about today made me think of something that we posted on one of our social media channels, you know, several weeks back. And it was actually one of yours. You were talking about the internal happiness meter. And I remembered that as Sarah and I are having this conversation, and how important your internal happiness meter can be to your overall success. And that's, I thought about that as I was having that conversation with Sarah today, as we're talking about maybe stepping outside her comfort zone and taking another direction. And all I could think was, well, where does that put you on the meter? You know, think about where you are on a day-to-day basis right now, and think about where your meter goes, and think about all of these things. It's almost like you're setting up a pros and cons list, and you start to look at, okay, well, maybe the needle goes a little bit further towards the positive side when I think about this, and you don't even realize it until you start to kind of weigh those things out. But I fully feel that it's a vital part. It's something that she and I admittedly don't have a ton of experience in, as far as pushing each other outside of the comfort zone. But where we're kind of learning along the way is a really good feeling, because I feel very equipped at this point to be able to encourage her. And I fully feel like it would come the other way if I was seeking an opportunity to step out outside my comfort zone. So it's a great place to feel like you are in your relationship, man. It makes you, it really makes you feel good.
I love it. So if anybody was paying attention over the last 45 minutes to an hour, kind of what we've been really giving you here is a blueprint to making your partner happier, but making your life, your personal life, just you, a lot better. And, you know, what we really, this is not a typical podcast for us. This is not one of those typical topics, but the reason that we wanted to do this is because I think all of us have so many people in our lives right now that are such good people. But for some reason, they got the career figured out, they got the making money figured out, or they've got, you know, this hobby figured out. They've got something in their life figured out that makes them great. But they don't have this one figured out for some reason. This one's tough. And maybe it was their upbringing. Maybe it was a situation that happened with an earlier relationship. This is something that was tough for them. And we really wanted to do this podcast this week because this is sort of the guidebook that we see, not only in our own relationships, but in a lot of the relationships of our very successful friends that have great relationships. This is sort of the rule book that seems to apply to all of them. And so I want to go through these rules, you know, real quick and list them one more time. But our hope with this one is that it's been something that you can really take a look at whatever relationship you're in right now and be like, okay, what can I work on? Or is there a problem? Is there a problem and I need to hit the escape before it gets to a really bad place? And so like I said, I feel like these are the rules that, and we've spent a lot of time crafting this one. You know, not only just, okay, well, this is a list of things, but this is a list of things that we've really looked at several different ways and several different relationships. And I'm like, that's it. That's the list of things that makes this relationship successful, is how they encourage their partner. So, Marsh, let's go through the list one more time, just so we can recap everything that we went to. And then we got something special to talk about at the close.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we've landed on here is these are what we consider to be the five keys to happy and healthy relationships, right? This is at the end of the day, this is what we're talking about. So rule number one is encouraging your partner to make friends. Our rule number two is to encourage your partner to have adventures without you. Rule number three is to encourage your partner to create something. Rule number four is to encourage your partner to be healthy. And then rule number five is encouraging your partner to step outside of their comfort zone. I think those are all extremely valuable keys. Obviously, that's not the end all be all, but that's what we found in our relationships and the relationships that surround us, the happy and healthy ones that we know about and that we're a part of. They have that, all these things in common, all these rules kind of apply.
No, I absolutely love it. So, you know, one of the things that we want you all to do as listeners is share your stories with us. You can go to serialprogressseeker.com anytime, share your stories with us. We've got a lot of cool stuff on that site, but we want to hear your stories. We want to hear your stuff. Tell us where you struggle. Tell us which of these rules you agree with, you disagree with. We want to hear all of those things. We really put this podcast together because, you know, it's not just about building the business. This is obviously a business podcast, but what good is a business if you don't have a successful personal life too? And sometimes these are the most important topics, and that's why we wanted to cover that this week. So this is stuff that we've learned not only professionally, but in our personal lives. And we always want to hear kind of what it does for you all. That's why we actually put this together. That said, we have a really good podcast coming up next week that I think we should talk about. Marshall, like, what are we covering next week and why is it such a big deal?
Man, speaking of helping people, we're really excited about this one too. It's like every single week we feel more and more excited about bringing this information to you guys because of exactly what Ben just said. We want to help. And next week we've got another episode that we feel like is going to do just that. So it's all about how you can actually grow your business and grow your circle of friends, family, people that you keep around you through a simple but effective method of giving compliments. This is something that my friend Ben has been a genius at for years and years now. So we're literally going to bring him in here along with Tabitha. We're all going to sit here and we're going to pick each other's brains about how we do this, some specific strategies about what you can put in place immediately. And we've got some really, really good examples about how this has been done. If you want to touch on that for a second, Ben, just real quick, some specific ways. It's awesome how you have used compliments to grow your own business and to make our friend group bigger. I mean, here we are all sitting in the same room and we do our best to compliment each other all the time.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a strategy that I use quite often. I mean, this is on the daily, on the weekly that I'm using to put myself in good situations for business growth, but also for interpersonal relationship growth. And also on this podcast, I'm going to tell a story about how I almost got my ass kicked in a bar by implementing this strategy and what I learned from that situation. So if you'd like to hear about me getting out of a very sticky situation in a bar in Branson, Missouri, where I was implementing this in the wrong spot at the wrong time and what I've learned from that, but also how I have grown a business to astounding heights and helped other people grow their businesses to astounding heights with just a very simple technique of complimenting, but a very intentional complimenting, then I think you're going to like this episode coming up. So listen, we hope you enjoyed the episode. We hope that this is another one that you guys have absolutely loved. Leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. No matter where you listen to the podcast, leave us a rating. All those things are super important to us. And make sure you go to serialprogressseeker.com. Check everything out there, but tell us, give us some feedback. Let us know what you want to hear more of. Let us know if we drop something that you implemented and you got a result from. Let us know if you think we're crazy. We're cool with that too. but we loved getting to share this with you today. This has been something that's been important for us and has been a big part of our success. And we hope that it can be a part of your success too. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for checking out this episode of the Serial Progress Seeker Podcast. If you want to listen to more episodes, learn more about our mission, or send us questions or feedback about the show, go to serialprogressseeker.com. You can help the mission by subscribing, reviewing, rating, and commenting wherever you listen to or watch podcasts. And be sure to connect with us on social media for all the latest through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. We'll catch you next time, Serial Progress Seekers.